It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young.
Welcome back, everybody, to our extended hiatus. How's everybody been?
Doing well.
Doing well in Texas.
I guess Josh is doing okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm doing good. I thought I got my unmute button in there in time, and evidently I did not.
So we've had a little bit of a break. In the interim, I've gotten a new heart, a new kidney. One of those worked. And it's been a rough...
Can you guess which?
It's been a rough few months. I went to the hospital after about a few days after we recorded our last show. And my doctor said, yeah, you're not leaving. And I thought, okay, I'll be in here a week or so, maybe, you know, a few days. I was in there 75 days. And in that time, they found that they could not repair my heart from the heart attack that I had in July. So I got put on the transplant list, and within a few weeks, I had a new heart. That went badly at first. I found out later I nearly died during the operation, but I didn't. Had a BP of zero. It took a lot to get me going, apparently. But the new heart's doing great. I had a paralyzed vocal cord, so that's why I still don't sound like myself, but working on that, and I'm in physical therapy, and I'm getting better. But been a rough 2020, even more so than just quarantine and COVID, as it turns out.
Indeed.
Yes, we're glad to have you.
Man, I'm glad to still be here.
Very glad.
Thanks, man. I'm really glad to be here. I was just telling Brad before the recording started, the side effects to the medication I'm on are almost, they're pretty rough. But I won't get into that here, because that's not the forum for this. We're here to talk about happy stuff, like Apple and technology and all sorts of crap. So let's jump into it. One of the things that I did treat myself to, since I'm still amongst the living and I still have dialysis 3 times a week for 4 hours at a pop, where I need to have some sort of distraction or entertainment, I decided I needed some really good headphones. So while I was in the hospital, I ordered the new Sony M4s. That came out, I thought, you know, they had an Amazon special, this will be really good, but I never opened them. And because I bought them in October, the return window is still the end of January, as is, you know, with all the Christmas purchases. So they were sitting unopened on my coffee table when I came home in December. Well, just before I left the hospital, like a day or so before I left the hospital, you know, Apple introduced the AirPods Max. Now, I looked at them, I'm like, there's no way I'm doing this. I'm not doing this. Cut to, you know, one day later, I'm doing this. So I went to Best Buy's website. Ironically enough, Best Buy has had better stock on Apple stuff than Apple has, including the HomePod Mini. So what I did was I went ahead and just grabbed the Space Gray, which is all that was in stock, which is actually what I wanted anyway. And they came on Christmas Eve. So I've tried these out pretty extensively, and I gotta say, they are... really nice headphones. I'd say the noise canceling. Now, I haven't tried the M4s. They were still unwrapped, so not completely a fair comparison, but I used the M3s quite a lot over the last 2 years that I've had them, or year and a half, I guess. And they've been solid headphones, but the noise canceling on the AirPods Max is hands down better. So I'll give you an example. When I'm sitting in dialysis, it gets pretty loud in there, and I'll put on the M3s and I'll turn on the noise canceling. And sometimes I won't even play any music or a podcast. I'll just sit there with it so that I can kind of nap while it's all going on. And I can still hear what's going on a little bit. I don't know why, because on planes it actually worked pretty good. But in this real world setting, not so much. The other day I tried it with the AirPods Max. I couldn't hear anything with nothing playing. So Sunday morning, Brad and Josh and I talked for about 4 hours in the early morning. And that was kind of unusual that they were up. But we sat there chit-chatting over Telegram for about 4 hours. The entire time I had the AirPods Max on with the noise canceling, I couldn't hear anything. So it was pretty wonderful. Music sounds great. You can turn up the volume pretty loud and you don't get a lot of distortion at all. They are very, very nice headphones. They're probably the best. And again, I'm not an audiophile. I'm sure there's people out there who's, you know, got like $1,600 Sennheisers or, you know, studio quality monitors or whatever. They're not that, and they're not meant to be, but as far as headphones go, they are great. Are they $550 great? Hard to say. I don't know. But do they blow away every other pair of headphones that I've had? Hands down, yes. Thoughts, anybody? Anybody else going to take the plunge? Or am I just the lone guy over here?
Oh, no, no. There will be no AirPod Maxes by me or in my household unless my daughter decides to use her fun money to go absolutely ham on a pair of headphones. That was the question I was going to ask you, was are they $550 good? Now, granted, you've got a use case for them, that you're going to use them, and I hope this use case is very short for you and you don't have to use them much longer for that instance, but you've got a use case for them and they're going to suit you just fine, and for that, money's really no object to an extent. For my use case, the AirPod Pros I have that were gifted to me, I can't even say that the AirPod Pros are worth $250. I'm not saying that they're not worth that, but I don't know that they're worth that to me. The OG AirPods did just fine for what I wanted them for. Now, since I've gotten these Comply foam tips, the Pros do wonderfully, and I wouldn't trade them for the world, but again, they were a gift, and if it was up to me to pay $250 for them, I'd be very hesitant to do it.
From my point of view, I'm actually back to the OG AirPods for my small headphones, because I just like those better than the Pros. They never really fit my ears right, even with the tips, and so I swapped with my wife. I'd given her my AirPods, and so I swapped back to her, and she's got the AirPod Pros now, and I've got the original ones. And then I actually bought the Sony M4s when they were on sale this fall as well. My thinking there was I already had the M3s, and I wasn't sure it would be worth it to upgrade. But then, you know, I still had the box, and the M3s were still in great shape. So I re-gifted the M3s to my nephew for his birthday, who absolutely loved them. You know, it's the nicest pair of headphones he's ever had. And so that made it worth it for me to, you know, upgrade and get the M4s for me instead of if trying to sell used headphones is not like selling other kind of hardware, right? You know, you can sell an iPad and that's fine. Selling headphones is a little different. So, you know, getting your money back out of them is just not going to happen. So that's why, you know, it was a good case for me where I was able to gift those to him. You know, basically, you know, with the original box and everything. So I don't actually use them as much as I thought I would. The M4s, the best thing use case for them for me was I could pair them with my client laptop, which is a Dell, and I could pair them with my iPad Pro at the same time. So that way, if I need to do a conference call, I could get on Teams on my iPad Pro or Teams on the laptop, and do either. And I do that sometimes, but Bluetooth is really wonky on that Dell, and so I kind of avoid it if I can. And but you know, I do it sometimes, and you know, and it I don't have to worry about trying to disconnect, reconnect, or anything like that with them. So somebody just changed the view on us, and it's kind of crazy. We're all sitting in a grotto or something. That's really weird.
All right, yeah, I'm gonna stop. I was just saying what the drop down is.
Brad's playing with our Skype right now, so we're all I like what you've done there, Brad. It's pretty cool.
Thanks.
You ever plan on taking the plunge on the Max, Brad, or not?
I'm sort of back and forth on it right now. Like, I thought I would never buy a pair of AirPods Pro, and it didn't take long after they were out for me to go get some. So, and I kind of felt the same way about the AirPods when they came out, and then I wound up buying a pair of first gens, and then I thought I lost them and bought another pair of first gens, and then found the other ones, and I never wind up opening the second pair. So I was like, well, I've just got a spare, you know, set in case I really do lose them. Well, then the Gen 2 came out and I got a pair of those and gave the unopened Gen 1 to my daughter. And I'm really surprised that she hadn't lost them. and then I had my pair of Gen 2s I gave to my wife because she just wanted to have a pair of AirPods. Well, she doesn't like the way they fit, so they've gone unused since she got them. And I'm one of those weird people that I don't wear other people's headphones. So I was just like, well, just keep them. But I have loved my AirPods Pro. Like, I got the Comply tips for them, and, you know, they're just amazing to me. I do all the grocery shopping and all the cooking in the house, or most of the cooking in the house. So, like, I've always got them in my ears, and I'm always talking on the phone to somebody, you know, during the workday hours. So I usually have one or maybe both in my ear at any given time during the day. Back to the AirPods Max. I mean, I can't say, but I mean, I probably will get a pair of them.
Yeah, I'd say if you own the AirPods Pro, it's kind of a toss up whether or not you really want the Max or not, because feature wise, they do the same things. It's just also having, you know, 20 or 30 hour battery life on a pair of AirPods is kind of a nice thing as well. And, you know, the fact that they add features to the AirPods Pro, like, you know, the spatial audio, for example, which if you haven't played with it, you really, really should. Right now, you can only do it on iPads and iPhones, not the Apple TV itself, which is a real bummer. But, you know, go watch an episode of The Mandalorian. Go watch anything that's on Disney Plus or HBO Max on the AirPods Pro or the AirPods Max, and turn your head, move your head. You'll be blown away at the theater. Like, it's not as great as having like an Atmos system in your house, but it's pretty close to the fact that I think I told Josh the other day, or Brad, that I was watching The Mandalorian while I was in dialysis with the spatial audio with the AirPods Pro at the time. And I would turn my head, and it's like, there's no way that nobody's not hearing this, right? Are these on my phone, or is this in my head? It was that realistic. Yeah, I'd say if you had the Pro, then I guess the Max are a little excessive, but I don't really know if they're competing with like the QC35s or the M4s for that matter, because I think that the performance that I've seen out of them is better than those headphones themselves. So maybe they're actually trying to compete with the headphones that are like the Sennheisers and the other things. I have no idea.
And the build quality, I think the build quality as well. I mean, you got metal, you know, metal headband, metal ear cups. I mean, the Sonys are nice, but they're still plastic headphones, you know? I mean, you got removable ear cups, I guess. I've looked at them, and, you know, it's like, you know, it's just kind of crazy, you know, what they've done there. You know, I think if you've got the money to spend for it, I think what you're going to buy will end up being well worth what you paid for them. You know, you just got to have a use case for them. I personally, in some places, would be afraid to walk around with them on in public for somebody snatching them off my head. And, you know, God knows I can't catch them.
I know what you mean. One of the side effects of the medicines that I'm taking is that my hands shake pretty bad right now. In time, that should get better. But sometimes it makes typing on my iPhone really hard. So I'm actually having to depend on Siri a little bit more than I normally would. So having something that's on my head that lasts more than 3 or 4 hours is also kind of a nice thing. To be able to voice invoke and do a lot of that stuff is becoming a little more... I'm depending on it more than I would like to, let's say. So that's a useful feature for me. But kind of like Brad, I used to walk around with the Pros in all the time. Just because, you know, if my wife's at home, she will never want to talk to me until I'm listening to a podcast or music. So putting it in transparency mode, you know, I could stand in there and cook, make my own breakfast, nary a word. The moment I start listening to something, blah, 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 blah. Can you do blah, blah, blah? You know, this, what's this? And it's just pause, pause, pause. So at least having the, transparency mode is one of those things that should have been on every headphones from time immemorial. You know, having that on the, there's like 8 or 9 different microphones on the AirPods Max. There are a crazy amount of microphones on that thing. I've tried FaceTiming my family with it just to see how I sound and if they can hear me. And of course, you know, no complaints there. They do look pretty big. And of course the case is garbage, but you know, the third party case is already popping up from China. If you go to Amazon and you look for AirPods Max case, there's tons of those that'll let you leave the original case on and still be able to, you know, put them in this hard shell case. You know, you got the, what was the one from the Waterford bags in San Francisco?
Yeah, it was like a Waterford leather case that was, what, $100?
Yeah, so. No, it was $100.
Looks sort of like a catcher's mitt.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of soft cases for headphones. I mean, I want something that protects it. And I know with those headphones, you don't really need it because they're metal. They're aluminum and steel, and they're not going anywhere. But I don't know. I just kind of like the hard shell case. The build quality is way better than the Sony's, which, you know, not a knock on the Sony's, but they feel like cheap plastic because they are cheap plastic. So that was,
I mean, you know, and we paid $275 for them versus $550. So, you know, I mean, you get two of those. So y'all are talking about leaving your AirPods in. So this morning I had a doctor's appointment for 11 o'clock and I get there and the doctor was running late and they told me, you know, you could come back another day or, you know, we could see you about 11:30, 11:45. She's just, you know, she's running late today. And I'm like, well, I'm off work. You know, I don't have anything else to do today. I'll go ahead and stay. And I said, I'll just, you know, go walk around the block. It was uptown. I don't get to that part of Dallas anymore. So, you know, I'll just go walk around a bit and, you know, y'all will just text me when it's close to being my time. And she said, that's great. And so I went out and I walked around the block a little bit and I came back in. I went in and I'm talking to the nurse and she's getting all the vitals and, you know, asking me all this stuff. And she walks out of the room. And after she walks out of the room, I realize I still have my AirPods in. So I'm like, oh, now I'm that asshole. Because I put them in when I was walking around and didn't even think about them being in my ears. When I came back in, I turned the music off. Like I wasn't, you know, listening to a podcast or music or anything, but they were still just sitting in my ears. And so now, you know, she's doing the vitals and all this stuff and the AirPods are still in my ears. And, you know, she probably thinks I'm a butthole, you know, for wearing them, but I didn't even realize they were there until she walked out. And so I kind of real quickly, you know, cased them up before the doctor came in, but I was like, oops, you know.
Now imagine that if a team of surgeons were coming in every 5 minutes to tell you something. That was me this entire fall because they were in my head most of the time when I was talking to my doctors too. So I was that guy. I was every Uber driver I've ever had.
Brian, let me ask you a question with the Maxes. When you're moving around, even just standing, sitting, maybe leaning back in a chair or just being active around the house, how stable are they? Are they falling off your head? Are they resituating themselves and moving around any?
With my large melon head, I didn't notice that very often myself, to be quite honest. One of the things that I sort of appreciate about the build quality is that once you put them on, they are very heavy objectively in your hand. But when you actually put them on your head, they're not, you don't really notice it after a while. Like that mesh top is very comfortable. I didn't think it would be. I kind of had my qualms about how bad that was going to be, but honestly, they're pretty comfortable and they stayed pretty stable on me. Now, granted, I didn't have to extend them very far. They stayed in place because I was at, you know, one of the smaller settings. Yeah, it stayed pretty much in place. Now, that is subject to change depending on what activity I'm doing. I used a lot of it sitting. I haven't put it on for too much walking, but I will give it a shot more around the house, particularly as my wife goes back to work, and see how that goes. I do like having headphones too. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, the ecosystem does help quite a bit. You know, my Sony's aren't gonna read out my text messages as they come in, or Telegram messages, or anything else. Having that as a benefit of these headphones is pretty nice. I like being able to, you know, I'll be sitting there doing something and, you know, your wife has just texted and says blah, 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 blah. So I like that, you know, and that's not something I'm going to get with any other headphone. Now, granted, I had AirPods Pro that could have done that. But again, it's that battery life that just lasts an insanely long amount of time. And of course, there's no power button. That's the other thing, too. But good question, though.
Well, there's no power button on the Pros or the OGs either. They just work until they don't.
True, but it's just weird to see over-the-ear headphones that don't do that. But I guess Steve Jobs famously hated the idea of a power button, too. So,
yeah, I mean, I bought those Beats before I bought the M4s, and when they put them on sale some point in September, October, and I really wanted to like them, and they sounded really good, but they were just too small for my big melon, and they just, if I wore them for too long, I ended up, you know, with a headache or, you know, indentations in my head from where they just were cutting in. And so I sent those back and I, you know, I'm glad that worked out because I was able to send those back and then they put the M4s on sale and I bought those. So, but But that is handy, that, you know, where it reads out your text and stuff. That, you know.
There is a question as to whether or not that Apple will kill the Beats brand, but I kind of think that they won't. I don't see why they would. I mean, it's extremely popular, and it's like printing money. But the AirPods Max have no Apple branding on them whatsoever. So that's also kind of weird. But, you know, then again, AirPods don't either. So my wife pointed that out to me. I didn't even think about that.
That's true. You'd think they'd put a little Apple logo on the cans themselves or something.
Their brand is so strong, they don't even have to now. What's that?
I just feel like it would be a little silly to have the Apple logo on the outside of it, though.
There's probably a sticker in the box. I mean, you could put it on there.
You really don't want to advertise it even further so somebody can jack you for your headphones.
Exactly.
Let's see. What else is going on? Josh, you've invested in some HomePod minis, I understand.
I did. My wife got me one for Christmas, and she got me an AirPod, AirPods on the brain. She got me an original HomePod back for a birthday gift a while back, and I've kept it at my office, and it's really been kind of a overkill in my office. You know, it never comes off of, you know, say, maybe the lowest two settings of volume, just because I don't want to blow out half the dealership. And when I saw the minis come out, I said, well, it's better for office use. Because, you know, like I said, pretty much I use just Apple Music streaming on it is what I do. And came out, hooked it up Christmas morning, and our living room's an open floor plan. It has a big vaulted ceiling, and it's decently sized. Hooked it up on my computer desk over there in the corner, and it was amazing to me that this little mini completely filled the room with sound. You would not see that out of a... granted, I haven't tried the most recent Echo Dots, but most of the, you wouldn't expect that out of a speaker that size whatsoever. Since then, I've brought my original HomePod back home, and I've taken my Mini to work. Playing them side by side and kind of running one and then running the other, there is a slight decrease in quality. But unless you were listening to a HomePod for 30 minutes, and then you turn it off and hook up a Mini and listen to the same music for 30 minutes, you wouldn't really notice the difference. Mid ranges and high ranges to me sound negligible difference. I'm not going to say they sound as good on the $100 speaker as they do on the $250 speaker, but I can't notice a difference. Bass, there's very little bass coming off of it. I don't know what they're trying to do with the speaker for that to me. But if you're up next to it and it's at a decent, a lower sound level, you can sense the bass coming off of it. But by and large, you're not getting a lot of bass out of that speaker. But that's not, that's not a big deal. That's to be expected in a lot of ways. But, you know, the Siri still works great. I have no doubt. I haven't tried it for a conference call yet, but I have no doubt it would work great for that too. You know, it does still have a built-in cord, but it's a USB-C that goes into a brick, which is, you know, it's a neat little change. I'm kind of amazed that Apple's USB-C-ing all the things except for the iPhones. But by and large, the Mini, I think it's a fantastic product. I think it's something they should have had out ages ago. And I still think the $100 price point's too high for a, oh, what the heck, I'll get one price. For Apple fans and Apple-centric people such as ourselves, yeah, oh, man, yeah, that's nothing. For, you know, the Joneses down the road, it's still a lot for a speaker. To Jim's previous point, you can get four Echo Dots for one of these AirPods, for one of the HomePod Minis, rather. And depending on your use case, yeah, you'd rather have, you know, for the cost of one HomePod Mini, you can outfit your entire house with Echo Dots. And, you know, my son hooked his up, and yeah, the sound quality was tinny, especially compared to the Mini, and it was not as good, but it still played music. So, and the interesting thing for the HomePod is we do just have the one in the house. Brought it back home and said, yeah, I'm going to try something. And my wife, over the pandemic, she got a big TV in our main living room and mounted over the fireplace. And the fireplace is unused. It was a gas fireplace that we've never used the whole time. Don't have a sound bar. She's just been using the TV speakers that came in the LG TV. So I said, you know, I'm going to put the HomePod in the fireplace. Little, you know, concave area for the sound. fantastic difference. And I think that's definitely going to get the Apple TV used a lot more in the living room, because the sound quality coming off of it was... I'm even curious about a studio pair now. Not that I'm going to go out and get a second HomePod anytime soon, but if I were to find a refurbished one for $100, $150, I'd probably spend it just to try to get the stereo set up and see how it goes. I would not have thought it would work as well as it did for TV sound, but it does sound phenomenal with the right source.
Two of the HomePods are supposed to be able to do Atmos on certain things, as I understand it, right?
I do believe you are correct. Yeah, that's you're trying to talk me into it there.
So one of the things we did over during the pandemic is, at some point, I bought some cheap projector on Amazon. I mean, it was normally like $100 projector that they had marked down to like $60 or something, and I was just like, you know what, I'm going to get it, play around with it. Our bedroom is on the second floor, is massive. It's got, you know, really high vaulted ceilings. And so I can basically set the projector on our headboard and shine to this wall across the way. And so I end up with, you know, like this 12 by 20, 25 foot screen, you know, on the other side. I mean, just massive screen. It's basically like being in a drive-in theater from your bed. And so what I use to power it is in a Fire TV 4K. That I had that I really wasn't using at all. And then I realized I could pair the Amazon Studio speaker, which is kind of Amazon's equivalent to the HomePod, but bigger, to the Fire TV. And so now I've got like this massive speaker, you know, that basically streams from the Fire Stick and this projector. And so we've watched, you know, several movies upstairs and, you know, different stuff. And it's pretty neat setup. And now it's got me wanting a nicer projector because, you know, I've just got this cheapo one. But, you know, that was one of the things we had talked about doing for Christmas. But, you know, I just never found one I like the deal on. But, you know, here soon I'll probably end up upgrading that projector just for up there because, it's, you know, it's pretty neat.
What's the resolution on the projector you have, Jim?
I couldn't even tell you. You know, it's not even a 4K. You know, it's like just an HD projector. I mean, I literally paid like $60-$65 for it. You know, it was just something to play around with. Yeah. And it's amazing. It's already amazing with, you know, we've got blackout curtains in there. You get it super dark and it shines on the whole wall. So any sort of upgrade at all is just going to be, you know, amazing. I mean, you know, we're not looking for like, you know, like it's a drive-in theater. Think of it like the old drive-in theater, you know? So, and it works perfect. You know, anything where like we're watching Mandalorian, we're downstairs on the 75-inch, you know, LCD with the sound bar and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when we're feeling like going to watch an old movie or something, you know, we'll go upstairs and put on, you know, we've watched Die Hard up there. We've watched, I forget, you know, Blazing Saddles, which doesn't age very well. I mean, it's still really funny, but nowadays it's, yeah.
I'd say it ages well. It's just not, well, it's not politically correct.
Correct. Yeah. No, it was still a really great movie, but just, yeah, I was kind of shocked because it had been a while since I had watched it like full way through, like not on like cable or whatever. And I'm like, woo.
Yeah. Just remember it was co-written by Richard Pryor. So
yeah. Yeah. That's, yep.
Really? Today I learned. I did not know that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He was supposed to be the sheriff that was played by Cleavon Little in the movie.
I could see that. That could be a very Richard Pryor role.
But the drugs kept him from being reliable enough to hire as the actor. So let's talk about Amazon's Echo glasses. So there was an article on The Verge in the last week where the new version of the Echo frames. I didn't even know there was a previous version of the Echo frames that have been released, and they look kind of neat. I won't lie. Conceptually, they look kind of neat, but they're also very dorky, as you would expect batteries and technology shoved into the arms of
temples.
The temples of the glasses, yes. The things that go over your ears. So the battery life is apparently garbage, but the performance is pretty good for the 3 hours that it lasts. What do you guys think?
I think Amazon's never been afraid to be first. You know, it's not a thing of theirs, but they don't mind it. I think looking at the product, that's been the next go in wearables. You know, the Google Glass was way ahead of its time. And for what it was at the time was a phenomenal product. You know, looking back, to think that we had that kind of technology that far back was really still kind of impressive.
Until they got banned everywhere.
Yeah, well, there is that. But, you know, some people kind of expected, you know, the other wearables like that to get banned too. But, yeah, the glass was a little too invasive. I definitely see the allure, you know, having something kind of like you say. The thing that got to me about it is just what I've run into and what you guys have been talking about with the AirPod Pros before. One of the nice things about them is that if you can somehow keep them in at all times, then you have Siri that discreetly talks to you in your ear. Hey, you just got a text from Brian and it says such and such. Or, you know, as you're just kind of sitting there, you can ask, you know, hey, lady in a can, you know, what's the forecast tomorrow? It's something that in theory, if the battery life is there, you have it with you at all times and not just on your phone or there, but something that you can hear and that you can respond back to and interact with that for the most part is private. You do still kind of look like a loon talking to your glasses or your AirPods at the grocery store or waiting in line at McDonald's or something. But I see the allure. And kind of like what we've talked about before, Brad, seeing this product really makes me want the AR glasses from Apple to come out. I'd be much more interested in them. But one of the things that was weird to me in the review was where they just kind of play in the frames above your ears. And I know that if you do the speaker just right, nobody else can really hear it. But that still seems to me like something that other people could eavesdrop on your stuff very easily. I've got questions as to exactly how that works in practice. That seemed weird to me that it just plays out of the frames themselves and not in your ear.
It's like you tell Amazon to order something. It's like, I've just ordered the Wink massager for $39.95.
I think the big thing for me is the battery life. I mean, if you're going to actually have them as your eyeglasses and you're like me where you wear eyeglasses all the time, like if that only lasts 3 hours, that really doesn't work. I mean, you know, honestly, I have two pair of glasses that I wear. One that is, you know, basically for sitting here in front of the computer when I'm, you know, here in front of the computer. And then another pair of glasses for everywhere else, you know, just wearing, driving, watching TV, you know, that's everything but in here. And, you know, I would think that I would want the Echo frames to be like the everywhere else besides the computer glasses, because if I'm sitting in front of the computer, I got, you know, anything I want to.
You don't really need,
right,
the lady in your ear.
But, you know, if they only last 3 hours, then, you know, I while I can see the benefit of, you know, maybe being able to play a little music or listen to a podcast is probably even more of a better use case. But yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, it's, you know, you don't have any place to put a battery, you know, but that, you know, that's why this product is a hard product to make, I think, you know, because if you don't have the battery life, then you don't really have a whole lot there. Even the guy who was a reviewer said he was wearing contacts with just the clear glass lenses in them just to test them out. Like he didn't, you know, he wasn't using them as actual, you know, glasses that he needed.
Well, you know, it's said that Amazon sells them just with the plastic lenses, and it's up to you to take them to, you know, your optometrist or, you know, and get prescription lenses put in them.
Right. So on top of whatever you pay for these glasses, you know, you've just paid a couple hundred bucks for some frames, and then you're going to go put glasses in them too. I know frames can get extremely expensive if you get designer frames. But, you know, still.
And let's be frank, these are not designer frames. If you have not seen these, like the Drew Carey Marine Drill Sergeant glasses are more of a fashion statement than these Amazon Echo frames are.
my ex-brother-in-law went into the Marines and he had to wear glasses. There they call them birth control glasses.
Yeah, they call them BCGs. That's right.
Yeah, they are. They are not pretty. And of course, if you're going to have something that's going to be a mainstream hit, you really have to have a variety of different frames that they work in. And that also complicates where you can put that technology and how you can incorporate it. Because a one size fits all is not really an option for anybody. It's a showstopper. And reading the comments on the Verge's post, you know, there was one guy who was defending it. Well, just get yourself a backup pair of glasses and charge your regular glasses every 3 hours. I'm like, dude, you're a loser. That's
boy, what a pain.
No one's going to do that. If that's what you have to do, you've already lost. It's terrible.
They could do like those headphones I used to have that go around the back of your head, and the battery is in the part that goes around the back of your head. They could just add more to the temple, and it just wraps all the way around, sort of like those basketball sports glasses. So then the entire thing from temple to temple is a battery.
That's about
it. But it would probably weigh 5 pounds.
That's what you'd have to do. What were you say, Josh?
I mean, it would be a solution. Again, it's not anything that you would. It's not a decision people would enjoy making. But kind of like what you said with the AirPod Maxes, you know, for general moving around the office, no, you would much rather have the more little discreet Pros than you would the big Maxes. But the Pros aren't going to last all day. Those Maxes will. And for some of these people that need them, you know, again, going back to the AR glasses from Apple, if that's what it took to get an all-day use, you know, 12 to 14 hours of use on the glasses, yeah, that's a trade-off I'd do. It's just really one of these with these frames, especially with Amazon. You know, Brian, you talked about the ecosystem earlier. You know, the ecosystem with the AirPods, getting to hear your Siri messages and everything else. Yeah, that's good. This Amazon ecosystem for what these glasses do for you, I just don't see where it would be. I just don't see the use case for myself that would go, yeah, I've got to have a pair of these. Now, the Apple AR glasses, yeah, I could see, I could talk myself into those a little easier, I think. But again, shoot, if that's what they're charging for the Maxes, what in the world is Apple going to charge for a set of glasses?
Fair point. One of the things that were that was mentioned in the comments is that Amazon doesn't seem to iterate very often. I think we're going to play point counterpoint here. Because, for, you know, as somebody who has just enough of a passing familiarity with Amazon's ecosystem, I don't really invest in it. It just seems like the Kindles are Kindles and the Echo Dots are Echo Dots, and their primary purpose is to make it easy to capture your data and then monetize it. And sell you content. That's really all there is. It doesn't seem like, from my layman's point of view, that Amazon really cares that much about the sexiness of the hardware beyond spec bumps. Is that your belief, Josh?
Well, the Kindle's an interesting point. My wife loves her Kindles the way I love my video games. She's gone through, she owns multiple Kindles. She actually has a current gen or previous gen Paperwhite that is still new in the box that she has tucked back just in case. I found her on Amazon or on eBay, one of the 9.7 inch Kindles, the Big Daddy Kindles with the keyboard on the bottom, and got that for last year. And she was like, why did you get me this? I'll never use it. The Whisper Sync doesn't work and I can't use it for anything. And I'm like, well, it's just a big Kindle. I thought you'd like it. It completes your collection. She's got two Voyages. She's got an Oasis. She has, hell, two or three Paperwhites at this point. She's got them all. And to talk about the iteration, yes, from first gen to second gen Kindles, you had spec bumps on the screens. Your battery life improved. Your cell phone went from the cell phone chip in it went from an Edge to a 3G. Really, since the Paperwhite, there's not been a lot of improvement, in my opinion. If you take the first gen Paperwhite to what the latest and greatest Oasis is, there's not much of a difference in them. The Paperwhite had a backlight. The Voyage went to a glass screen, and it was a little bit of a heavier device. I think it may have bumped up the DPI on the screen a little bit. The Oasis, I think, is the most recent one. It's the one that's got the weird bump in the back to hold it a little easier. It does have a glass screen.
It's got a glass screen, and it also has a light detecting, like it'll auto-adjust the screen. But it's like $250, and where you can get the Paperwhite for $100, $120, depending.
You can catch it on sale on Black Fridays or Prime Days or whatever, like $60, $70, and
it is waterproof now, which is good. You know,
yeah.
If you want to get in the tub with it or float around a pool with it,
and I guess you can also, I guess in some ways you could kind of make the same argument. Physically wise, you know, well, the iPhone hasn't iterated much since the 6, and they're not wrong. You know, really from the 6 to the X, they got rid of a button and it got a little longer. But, you know, maybe the Kindle's just kind of where it's supposed to be.
I would make the argument is that most of those changes in the iPhone have been at the software level. I mean, you have hardware spec bumps, but the software radically has undergone changes. Whereas, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but a Kindle is still a Kindle is still a Kindle.
Right. I mean, I think it has a purpose. It's kind of like it's one purpose, you know, to me is read books, or now you can actually listen to Audible books, but you know, it's a book. It's a bunch of books in a reader. And so there's only so much iteration you can do to it, you know, and I think they've gotten there, and basically the iteration now is to keep dropping the price.
Well, I mean, early on with the iPad, really all you could do with it was play video games. It was like a large iPhone. You could play some video games like Angry Birds or whatever when it first came out, and you could browse the web. But now, you know, you're running Teams on it. You're running Office on it. You're editing video in 4K. I mean, I would say that the iPad has iterated quite a bit from its original incarnation, whereas the Kindle has just had spec bumps and, you know, became waterproof. I mean, I don't think the Fire OS is really setting the world on fire, no pun intended.
Well, it's not even Fire OS on a Kindle, really. I mean, if you're talking about the actual Paperwhite, it's
right. Well, the Paperwhite is a book reader, but I mean, like the Fire. I'm talking about when I say Kindle, I mean the Fire tablet, whatever is what I kind of meant. But yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, those are. I agree on the Fire tablet devices. They've kind of just, you know, tried to keep them cheap and done, you know, little things that they could on them. You know, I mean, just basically on those. They don't really want to compete with an iPad, but they want to make it look similar enough to where somebody who doesn't want to pay for an iPad will buy their kid a Fire tablet, that kind of thing.
They're pretty good for, like, just watching a movie, or, again, if you want to use it to read a book. But as far as using them for apps or just surfing the web, they suck. I mean, they are a slug compared to the iPad devices, just in the hardware.
And you're right about that, but the thing about it is that I would say that a Kindle Fire is meant to be nothing more than an Amazon consumption device. If any of the media that Amazon sells, that's what a Kindle Fire is there for, is to consume Amazon media. And as far as that's concerned, If that's your use case and you just want to do that, look, I would recommend a Kindle Fire over an iPad in a heartbeat. Just because, you know, you can read on it. It's not as good as an e-ink Kindle, but you can read on it. You read comic books on it. Watch Prime Video. You can shop on it. You can do your Audible stuff from it. Play Amazon Music for, what, $60, $70? I mean, shoot, you can get one of the Kindle Fire 9s for like $100. You know, that's ridiculously cheap.
As pure consumption devices, which was an original complaint levied against the iPad, was that it's just a consumption device you can't create, then yeah, I would agree then that they're okay in that regard. But I think also part of the reason they're so cheap is the monetization of your data, which is also, you know, Amazon does some pretty bad, annoying stuff. You know, like wanting to turn on Amazon Sidewalk, for example, where, you know, it wants to use your Ring devices to share things out, you know, share a Wi-Fi network with a neighborhood, or what was the other thing that they wanted to do? The, you know, share all the photos and stuff automatically with your police department that your Ring captures. That's a lot of stuff. Like, I don't believe, I know Jim's going all in on the Amazon ecosystem, but I can't bring myself to do it because I don't trust them or Facebook for that matter with wanting to do. So I don't want to have to opt out of stuff like that. I want it to never come up in the first place, to be honest.
Well, Jim just does his drug deals in the backyard, not at the front door anymore. I mean, problem solved, right?
He cooks in the shed out back.
And it really, I mean, I've went all in on the the Echo devices. You know, I mean, I'm still Apple everywhere else, but, and I do have a HomePod that I use quite often here in my office. But you know, the Amazon Echo devices are cheap, and it allows me to have one in every single room to control lights in every single room. You know, that's the key for me for Amazon. I mean, I've got a Dot in the kitchen. I've got a regular, you know, latest generation with the little Echo ball thing in the living room. I've got that studio, that big old speaker up in my bedroom, which now I use to listen to Apple Music all the time. You know, I've got the little bitty one that's plugged in the master bathroom. You know, I've got them all over the place. You know, I mean, it doesn't miss a fart.
That's what I've done, except with HomePods. But I get where you're coming from, but it's just, I don't know, man. I don't trust them. I don't like it. I don't like I want them to just not do the stuff that they do. I don't want the Amazon Sidewalk stuff, you know, seeping in. So I'm pulling out my Ring doorbell.
And now I have an Eero.
Which ironically supports HomeKit.
Yes, well, yes. I've got
they
that
supported that
on,
before
yeah.
Amazon bought them out completely. Jim, I can't say a word. I just did a quick count, and counting the two dots we got for the kids, I believe we have 7 active Echoes in the house right now.
So I think you probably got more than I do, yeah.
Well, that's what the pie hole's for. Just block it all. Block all the most of the bad stuff anyway.
I think we have 3 in the house, 3 Echo devices in the house.
I have 1 Dot, and it's in my drawer. I have a Google Home Assistant that's plugged up, but I have that hardware muted.
I was going to say, you're complaining about Amazon, but you've got a Google Home product in there?
Yeah, but it's hardwired, microphone off, so.
Yeah, where do you have your Facebook portal at?
You know, I started to get my parents one of those just because, but I didn't. I got them a new iPad and a new iPhone instead.
I've got 5 Echo devices, and I know that I've got 2 or 3 that are basically just unplugged and not being used anymore that I need to just send to my mom and dad, but I haven't.
Don't forget, you can use those. Amazon does upgrade and trade-ins quite often with their stuff.
Oh,
so you can send
did that this Christmas for the latest Echo. Yeah, we had a first-generation Echo, like the tall white one, and basically I ended up getting the new Echo for, I don't know, you know, like $15 or $20 after trade-in and the sale, and I mean, it was ridiculously, you know, cheap to swap that in, and, you know, they shipped it back for free, so yeah.
And my wife did that last year. She went absolutely nuts digging through all of our drawers, finding all old Amazon products and send in to get a bunch of Kindles cheap.
That new little ball is, it's got some pretty good sound. I mean, it's not the Dot ball. It's the actual full-size Echo ball. It's got some good sound to it. I mean, that studio will amaze you. I mean, because if I crank up the studio, you know, like the neighborhood knows I'm playing music. It's that loud. So, I mean, I've been pretty pleased with them. The one I've still got here in my office is the little Echo Video one, you know, because I use it kind of as a photo frame. Like it shows, you know, I put photos in it and stuff because I'm all sentimental like that.
Oh.
It's got my dogs and my wife and my car.
I have a Echo Show 8 in the kitchen, and I do actually use it to... one, play music. It does have a nice couple of speakers in it that are mounted in the back of the device. And then this is like the latest generation. It's not the first generation that looks like a giant TV, but it does show me recipes and stuff through Food Network. And I can say, hey, show me this recipe. And I can save the recipe. I can send it to our, my wife and I's, shared shopping list so that, you know, it goes ahead and drops those items on there, you know. But it's pretty neat. And then I can get it to pull up those saved recipes after I've bought all those ingredients, and the lady will read through the steps and pause for you and whatnot for you to, you know, interact with it to, you know, let it know that you're ready for step 2 or 3. It's kind of neat.
The reading part is pretty neat, but I pull off the same thing with Paprika 3 on the iPad from, you know, gathering recipes off websites and, you know, snarfing them down and saving them to generating meal plans for the week, to generating shopping lists and stuff like that. The only thing it doesn't do is read it out. But other than that, it serves us. I guess I'm the only one who's like Amazon free in this up in this joint. I'm pretty sure Jason's all in on some of that stuff too.
So one of the things that I want to try out that I haven't is I bought Ticket to Ride, like the box, the board game over Christmas. And so now they've got stuff built into the Echo devices to where you can tell it you bought this game and it will walk you through step by step, like how to play turn by turn. And it's set up to teach you how to play the game and walk you through like the steps and setup and everything. So we haven't done it yet, but we got Ticket to Ride for Christmas and we're going to try it out. So that should be pretty neat.
Yeah, I will say the skills section for Alexa is pretty neat. I think Apple makes a big mistake by not letting people go ahead and, you know, have pre-programmed Siri shortcuts that accomplish the same thing. Having to build them yourself is neat and useful, but you shouldn't have to do it.
But mom ain't going to do it.
Pretty much. So
yep. We have my favorite skill is the Jeopardy game.
Yeah, I did dig that when I actually did have the dot hooked up with Jeopardy. That was fun. I got to admit.
And we have a Furbo, which is like a little dog camera that will throw treats. And so we can, our dog knows now. I'll say, you know, Alexa, ask Furbo to throw a treat. And it makes a special sound. And that dog is sitting there waiting on that treat to come out. Like she just did it in there. And yeah, or I can, before we leave the house, if we're going to be gone for a while, I can say, hey, lady, throw out a treat every 15 minutes for 2 hours, and every 15 minutes it'll dispense out a treat. And so that's pretty neat.
Oh, that is kind of neat. I gotta admit that's kind of nice.
Shoot. I got to find one of those now.
I do have an Echo Auto in my vehicle too.
What's that about?
I forgot about that. It's a little, it's probably half the size of my iPhone, maybe a little smaller. And it plugs into a cigarette lighter, and I can basically, and it connects to my phone over Bluetooth and obviously uses my phone as its path to the internet. But that's where I play Jeopardy a lot, is in my vehicle.
That is awesome, Brad. Oh, man, that sounds like a road trip, like, blast.
It's called an Echo Auto. But, I mean, it also hook in to where you can say, hey, lady, play music. Hey, drop in on so-and-so. You know, it has all the features of using, you know, the Echo stuff.
I have avoided buying one of those, but it sounds like Megan's Mazda needs one of those. It wouldn't do me any good in my car. I couldn't hear it as much as it revs up, but...
You know, I hope if Apple gets into this space where they start doing the AR stuff, and, you know, you already see hints of it with the LiDAR showing up in the iPad and the iPhone for the last couple generations, is that I want to see things like identify the thing that I'm looking at and tell me what it is. Or, you know, map out this space or show me information about, you know, if I go to a museum, show me, you know, what I'm looking at, you know, give me information on it. And I think if that's something that they end up releasing, that would be something it would have to do. It wouldn't just be simply, you know, Alexa, but in glasses.
I think something like that would be a successful demo showing that would make that product fly off the shelves for years to come. The problem is there's really two big things. Hardware-wise, I have full faith that Apple can deliver that product. I have full faith that their first gen will work great. And I have no doubt the battery life will be acceptable. Maybe not optimal, but acceptable. The problem is, number one, Apple Siri strength is the worst in the market. They're last as far as reliability on how the audio works with everything. Number two, they do not have the computational resources and data to make that work. That is much more in Google's warehouse, in my opinion, or even Amazon's to an extent. But Apple's ability to say, look at a painting and be able to pull up a Wikipedia article on that. They do not have the data resources to do something like that. I think they would have to partner with somebody for that. And the people they could partner with for it, unless they do go buy out DuckDuckGo and work with them, I don't see how that would, they would be able to make that as useful as it should be.
Maybe that's something you don't get in the first generation, but even if it's something like, I don't know how much you play with Photos, but Photos is pretty good at figuring out who's in your pictures, which, you know, something else that we used to say was just, you know, in Google's wheelhouse. But what we've seen is that the on-device computational power is such that, you know, this is a solvable problem and they figured it out. So even if the first generation was very limited to just your data, you know, you look at your kid, you know, who is that? Oh, that's, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's my kid. You know, I look, hey, that's my house. Think about how much data they've collected of photos that you've taken that they could process on device that never has to leave their, you know, your phone, and figure out a lot about the world around you.
That's a very excellent point, because the recognition that they've done in Photos with the machine learning on device is really, really impressive.
So it's not beyond the realm of possibility they could come up with something that in a first generation iteration would be that. There's been rumblings that they've rebuilt Siri from the ground up, and we'll be seeing that before too long. You know, possibly with iOS 15. That was the thing that I had heard on, Scobel was saying that on an AI podcast recently, that they had to, it was so bad that they had to just tear it down and rebuild it from the ground up. Who knows if they're building their own search engine behind the scenes as well. I mean, that is something, again, this is not something they couldn't do. You have to wonder why they haven't done it at this point, why they still partner with Google on all that they do. I mean, I know it's a hard problem to solve, but still kind of one of those things that they love to control every aspect of their stack. And that's a big missing piece.
I think a lot of that with the search engine deal is the reason Google's is as good as it is and as thorough as it is because they've gone from do no evil to make our products as good as they can be at whatever cost it takes. And to make a good working search engine like that, I think there's a lot of privacy hoops that Apple would just jump through. A lot of people have even made the argument that's why Siri's not as good as it is, because Apple has made such a point to not listen to your recordings and work on it as much as they have. So they've kind of short-sighted themselves as to what data they allow themselves to use to refine Siri. And whereas Google and Amazon have been a lot more open to just, we don't care, we're just going to, you know, we're going to use all the data sources we can to make our product better.
Though you have noticed, if you're setting up a new phone or HomePod or something like that, they do give you the option to opt in to share your recordings with Apple if you so desire to make Siri better.
They have, and it's kind of like you say, there's a lot more Apple products out there than Google or Amazon, and I don't know what their opt-in rate is. But you know, on Google and Amazon, I'm sure it's an opt out, and probably I would guess 90-95% of all devices they are allowed to use. I'd be interested to know what Apple's opt in percentage is on that.
That's a great point.
Well, when it asks me on my devices, or even when I upgraded to Big Sur, I opted out.
Yet you have all those dots in your house.
Just one or two. Jim's the one with 15 of them in his house.
I have five.
Yeah, I've got more than Jim does at this point. I've got seven.
I mean, I don't have any kids here, and Manning doesn't use one. So, I mean, you know, now, given sometime in 2021, I bet there's going to be some Echo device that's going to start translating dogs barking. And so, you know, then you know, I'll have one for her, but not until then.
It'll just be a skill you add to the Echo.
It'll be easy for your dog to order dog food from Amazon is really what it's going to be.
Exactly. We'll get like a metric ton of dog food at one time. Yeah.
They just need a dash button mounted real low for her to bump her nose on.
She did break into the Furbo here about a week or two ago, which is the little thing that throws the treats. Somehow she got the top off of it, and she ate all of the treats out of it. It basically made her sick. She, like, later in the day, she threw up, like, a bunch of treats that, you know, were just wet. And then, man, she was dropping bombs for, like, a long time. Like, she, she ate more food than she ever should have eaten. And so I don't think she'll do it again because she was miserable. She's a little bitty, like 9 pound, you know, 10 month old dachshund, and she ate a lot of treats.
That's amazing.
So the last thing we had on our list to talk about was the Eufy 2K cameras. So this is something that I've discovered that I really, really like. The Eufy, which is owned by Anker, that makes these series of 2K resolution cameras that are about $40 a piece or 2 for $70. And they work excellent with HomeKit. So now I have, I replaced all my Amazon Cloud cams with the Eufy 2K cams, and they are wonderful. I love being able to see a live camera feed from my watch or on my Apple TV with no extra app necessary, no extra steps necessary. I've been very, very happy with them. They've been more reliable than my Logitech that cost about 4 times the price. So I'm even considering maybe pulling that one out and just replacing it with Eufy's. For those prices, I could, you know, I could have cameras literally all over the place, and they all work with HomeKit great. So that's been really nice. Josh, you got some of those as well, right?
Yeah, I got one to test again, like you said, for $40. Why not? And a distinction too is that they're not only HomeKit compatible, but they are HomeKit secure video compatible. So the big thing with that is for those of us like myself that are on the 2 terabyte iCloud plan, it just integrates straight into your iCloud storage with everything. And I got one of them just, you know, right before Christmas, got a gift card for an early Christmas gift. I said, oh, why not? I'll try one out. And been very pleased with the quality. It was, again, it was one of those where a positive Siri moment. I knew you could watch it on the Apple TV, and I'm trying to figure out, well, shoot, I don't see a home app. And so I just held down the lady in a button and said, hey, show me my cameras. Lo and behold, it popped it right up on the screen. I'm like, okay, that's kind of nice. Works on the watch, like you said, which is a neat little, you know, Dick Tracy kind of thing. Oh, look, I can see a camera on my watch. But needless to say, I've got two more of the $40 cameras coming in. They're supposed to be in hopefully this weekend. And much like Brian, I also took the plunge, and my wife's, our front doorbell's been busted for a minute, and just never got around to fixing it. So we have a Logitech doorbell cam that is HomeKit secure video compatible that it's supposed to be in tomorrow, I think. Be interested. I'm hoping, knock on wood, I can get this thing wired up on my own. The instructions seem straightforward enough, and we do have an existing wired chime system and doorbell here that's not video. It's just an old doorbell. But hopefully I can make that work, and when I do, I'll let y'all know, you know, what the video looks like and everything. Hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah, I don't have a wired doorbell is the only problem. This is one of the things I hate about my house, and the way it's designed, it's hard to add one. So I've got an electrician coming out in a couple of weeks where we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to give him some suggestions. It's not going to be easy, and which is why I've used a battery-powered Ring for like forever, which I absolutely detest. Because, again, when I was in the hospital, one of my annoyances was I'd have to get my wife to routinely go and charge the battery, swap it out. And she did it. It's fine. But I don't like having to, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm trying to avoid in these home automation scenarios. It's bad enough that I have to change the batteries in my door locks, you know, on her, which I had to get her to do that, too. I did not count on being away from the house for like nearly 3 months. So that was, you know, you just got to sort of roll with it as it happens. But, you know, when I got home, I'm updating the firmware on my lights, updating the firmware on my doors. You know, that's weird things to say. Conceptually, it seems weird that when I get home, I think she went to the store or something, and me and my brother are running around my house. You know, like, let me update the firmware over here. Okay, now I need you to tighten that bulb over there. Now let's go to the basement.
Needs new firmware.
I got to run home and reboot my house.
Yes. Pretty much. So along those same lines, the one of the things that I have to use is if you're on AT&T for your gigabit, at least in the area where I live, you're forced to use their modem. And I used to have the USG, but then if I use it, I end up being double NATed, and it's not fun. And so I've sort of stuck with their equipment. Well, the problem with that is that I can't use my own DHCP. I have to use their DHCP server, which every so often, like 45 to 60 days, the tables fill or whatever it does, runs out of memory, I don't know. It can't allocate new IP addresses. It's not like there's an absurd number of things coming on my network. It's a static number, pretty much. I get my mom an iPad. I configure it in the hospital, send my wife home, and say, just turn it on. It's automatically going to get on the network. We'll be fine. It'll finish updating. She turns it on. It's like, no internet. I'm like, what are you talking about? And of course, it's getting an IP, but it can't go anywhere. I'm like, oh my God. So I send her to the basement. I make her reboot the modem. She reboots the wrong thing. She reboots like the network device that hooks into the modem and then gets all frustrated. So I bought this thing off of Amazon. It's a rebooter designed especially for modems and routers. And you plug it in, you tell it the time of day, and it reboots your modem every single day at a given time.
Wow.
So it's
like the old unplug the internet, unplug the router, and plug it back in trick. When the internet stops working, it just does it for you?
Every single day at 3:30 in my case is what I set it up for. It automatically just power cycles the modem. And I know that it works because, you know, I check the uptime on the modem. But also I get a notification from HomeKit saying, hey, your camera's offline. Oh, wait, it's back online. I need to turn that off, but, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'd be annoying at 3:30 in the morning every day.
So I got a single Blink camera over Christmas with one of the little Echoes that I bought, the little bitty, like, one that I've got in the bathroom that's just basically a plug. It's just a plug that goes in the wall that's the Echo. They had a deal going where basically you got one of those free if you paid $25 for this Blink camera. And I set that camera up right here pointing out my office, which is the front patio. So, like, if anybody delivers anything or anything like that, I get a notification on my phone. And I've been real pleased with it. It's $25. It looks exactly like the UFI one that y'all were talking about. And the storage is kind of built into it. And I mean, it seems to work. I mean, I was out of the house today for, you know, I mean, you're always home, so it's kind of weird. But today I was actually at that doctor's appointment, and I kept getting notifications, you know, like, hey, you know, some movement. And my wife was putting stuff in the car, like she was going to return a bunch of stuff. And so she was going into the garage, out of the garage, into the garage, out of the garage. And so I kept getting these notifications that, you know, that basically it was there. But we just did it because of packages and to be able to, you know if stuff came in when we're not home, or if they drop stuff that's that we had one that was over the holidays that was showed as delivered, and then a couple of days went by and it still wasn't here and still wasn't here, and they started tracking and all of a sudden it just showed up. But I was like, all right, you know, I had the camera kind of halfway pointed to the porch, but when that happened, I mounted it, and so now, you know, I've got a nice clear picture of the porch area. So,
yeah, that's what I've been doing with my Ring, but that's what I'll be doing with the Logitech as well. As if I'm not mistaken, I think the Logitech will do facial recognition. I think it's a thing in HomeKit actually that will do that. So, I'm hopeful to see how that actually works out. But yeah, getting it on the Apple TV. I get that all the time, too, if my wife goes out to take a walk or check the mail or whatever, is there's a person at my front door. There's a person over here. Your foyer front door was unlocked. So every step of the way on the way out the door, not just a picture, but if she unlocks the door, I get a notification. So at times it can be overwhelming and annoying, but, you know, it's kind of worth it.
Well, I know that there's also settings for that kind of stuff that you can poke it around in Home and whatnot. It seems like you can go through and say if any of the iPhones are present on the Home network, don't send notifications or something to that. I know, like in the cameras, it's like I think I can set them up to where if any of the iPhones are on the network at home, do not record anything.
Yeah, I mean, you can do streaming only and then do streaming plus video if somebody leaves the house. So I think that's what we're set up to do right now, is that if we're in the house, it's streaming only. But the moment it detects both of our iPhones leave the house, then it goes to streaming plus recording, which is kind of neat. So I'm sure the Amazon stuff can do that, but the Apple stuff doing it on the basis of picking up your iPhone, leaving the house, or coming back. So the moment we both enter the house, it also turns from recording to streaming only. So turning off the notifications so it doesn't tell you that for every single camera you have is very important. Otherwise, you'll be hit with a ton of notifications on every device. But having it do that is, I gotta say, I mean, the HomeKit stuff is actually pretty cool. If you're invested in that ecosystem, and you have iPhones and iPads, being able to pull up a single pane of glass for everything that you have and being able to control it with Siri really does kind of rule. I don't know. I mean, I guess you can accomplish the same thing a lot with the Alexa stuff, but it'll never be the first party, the first class citizen on your phone. So that's also my motivation as well.
Right. Yeah. You got to open the Alexa app which is why I've already ordered an Amazon Auto while we sat here. Thanks, Brad.
Nice.
Just dropped $20 on that.
That's all it was $20?
Yeah. They're on sale right now.
Uh-oh, Josh is about to get one, too.
Well, I mean, shoot. Just
that's what's my thinking. I'm like, $20, I'll try it.
I mean, $20 to play Jeopardy in the car like that, I'm not opposed to it. And my kids love playing that one, what is it, where it plays like the five-second snippet of music and you have to identify the name of the song.
Name that tune.
Yeah, right, yeah.
My kids love playing that one, too.
Honestly, I could see myself taking the plunge on that one. I'll give you a pass, Bezos' boy. But...
Hey, come on. He is the richest man in the world.
I'm going to throw in my lot with Tim Cook. Screw the rest of you guys.
you just keep spending all that right. Big Auburn money on all them products then.
I know it's getting late over there in hot Atlanta.
Yeah, and I got to get up early for dialysis at 5:45 in the morning. So that's when I have to be there. So I get up at about 4:45. So
you have to be there at 5:45?
Yeah, when you have something that takes 4 hours out of your day, you want to get it done as soon as possible. So, yeah.
Can you sleep while it's going?
I can sleep. I can watch TV. If I have good noise-canceling headphones, like, you know, $550 noise-canceling headphones, much easier to sleep than those $250 headphones. But
I'm sure it's real easy to sleep with $550 headphones hugging your head.
Oh, they're the best.
That's like a nice pair of... Oh, no, I can't say that on here.
Tim Cook whispering in my ear, telling me everything's going to be okay. Just go to sleep. But, yeah, it's getting to the point where we need to...
we need a Tim Cook sleep story.
Oh. Anywho, I think that's where we're going to stop for this episode. Now that I'm back and hopefully not dead, we're going to keep recording on a regular basis. We'll try and keep it up. And
woohoo!
If I can go without having any more freaking health issues for a while, that would be super.
Hopefully we'll be able to record in a week or two, and I'll be able to tell y'all the success or fail rate on me attempting to install this Logitech doorbell cam.
And then I'll have my own success or failure story from a much more complicated, needlessly complicated perspective of a people who built a house who didn't put in a freaking doorbell, which they put in this 18th century like spinny thing on the door that nobody has ever seen, nobody knows how to use, and nobody ever does. It was like... They picked the most foo-foo. One of these days, I'm going to go film a video and just show you guys. Send it in Telegram or something so you can see what I'm talking about. It's the dumbest thing.
It's got like the mechanical bell in it. Yes, like the actual turning motion makes it ring.
Yes, you twist it. Yep,
I know exactly what it is.
You give it a big titty twister on the door, and it makes a ring, ring, ring. It is dumb. No one, including the people who live here, knew what it was when we got it. So, and the thing is, I have this window that goes all around the door itself, so it makes it really hard to put wiring there, and there's no real great place to stick a transformer, it's a mess. It is, why do you think I've been 4 years the last time I tried this? So, but I'm going to try and do it, because I really want that. You know, when it was just Ring before, I could kind of overlook it. But now that we've got something that supports HomeKit and HomeKit Secure Video, and it took years to come out, and it's finally out, it's like, you know what? It's worth revisiting this just to see if we can do something that will simultaneously not annoy my wife. Because that's the thing, too. I don't want it to look ugly. I don't want it to look whatever. And it's like, I hear you. I get what you're saying.
Very important.
That's why the little spinny ring-a-ding thing just fits in the aesthetic.
Yes. It kind of does, but... you know, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to require drilling through brick and like moving the wires around in a weird way and pulling out the existing light socket and like trying to put a wire behind it. And is it going to be up to spec? I don't know if it's going to be up to code or not. So I've been down this path before, and it was a big pain in the ass, and I just decided not to do it. And now I'm gonna take that pain in the ass back and see what I can do.
but at least you'll not have to tune in Tokyo for somebody to ring the doorbell.
Exactly. Exactly. So, but here's hoping that works. Anyway, that should do it for this week. So later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at infinloopback. That's at I-N-F-I-N loopback. I'm Brian B. That's at B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at B-I-G-J-I-M. Jason is at J-S-N-Y-N-G. That's at J-S-N-Y-N-G. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.